Good evening. Welcome to Release Your Wings. We have a slight change now. We are starting a new series within our program called Experiencing God. We hope you enjoy this. I'm Dan Bagley, and I'm interviewing Shireen Chadha.
Welcome. Thank you, Shireen. Dan.
So we all have different ways of experiencing God, and different disciplines have, but this is mainly about how Brahma Kumaris experience God and how they deepen their sense of connection with God. So give me your personal overview of how you experience God.
I remember the first time I did, we have something called a foundation course, and I got this introduction or the lesson on the Brahma Kumaris concept on God. And I was driving back home on the freeway, and I was going through one of those really difficult junctions, and that was my first time I had this experience. And for me, the experience of God was light.
Ah, light. Now, this kind of ties in with how we are approaching the first topic on experiencing God, because the BKs experience God as a self-luminous point of light, is that right?
Yes, and so this experience, so first it was light, and then when I started focusing, then it went into this really self-luminous, pulsating, alive point of light.
While you're driving?
While I was driving.
Whoa, that had to be a little strange. So has it evolved? How does it come to you on a daily basis? And maybe you could expand this to how the BKs typically view God themselves in this light.
So for us, so first actually I had the knowledge base.
Yes.
And then based on the knowledge base I had an experience. Actually I went to I had a deeper exploration of the knowledge, and then I started experiencing God. And so our knowledge base is that God is a being of light, a point of light. And when we say a point of light, he's a metaphysical point of light. Is beyond the physical senses,
right,
or beyond anything physical. And so because he's metaphysical or a spiritual conscient energy, that he can have experiences, he can have feelings, he can have thoughts and understanding because he's metaphysical, he's conscient.
But God does not have a body as in a white beard.
Yeah, right, right. According to us, that
yes.
God does not have a body, a physical or a subtle body. God is just light. That some people have subtle bodies, like, let's say, an angel would have a subtle body of light, but God does not have a body of light.
So within the BK tradition, you see individuals as points of light also. How is this connected with the concept of God as a much more intense point of light?
Actually, for us, the human soul and the supreme soul are both points of light or beings of light.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between a human soul and the supreme soul, we call supreme soul, God, the supreme soul, is the difference is that I come into the cycle of birth and death,
mm-hmm.
that I come into a physical body, I'm born through a womb, I take birth. But
you are
God,
a soul doing this, coming into different bodies.
Right, but God doesn't.
Got it.
So he is always a self-luminous point of light.
You mentioned this was in your first BK course. How long into this course did this happen? Is this
the first day? It was very unusual, actually. It was very unusual the first day, and I had such a. It was unusual because I had this experience of closeness.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have this feeling that because he's light and I'm a physical being, I'm separate or different.
Mm-hmm.
That I felt that, yes, I can connect with him, that he is my parent. I can connect with him, and I had that feeling of closeness. And I feel that experience, I had that experience at that time, but it deepened over time.
I see.
Experience of just being connecting with light, connecting with a point of light. And it's easier when you yourself become that light.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go away from your physical senses and your body, then it's easier to become that light and then connect with another light.
So in a funny way, the sense is, I am a soul, I have a body. And when you're soul to God, then that gets deeper as you go on.
Yes, and that experience, and I over time I realized even why light.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I just took it at face value.
Yeah.
And then over time, I realized that actually my going away from the body, my going away from the physical senses, and my going away from my physical body was giving me that very spiritual, metaphysical feeling of who I am as conscient energy, as just awareness, just understanding. And so it was easier for me to connect with God because He wouldn't have the needs and the desires and everything that go with having physical senses and go with having a body.
So the BK experience at the most spiritual level is really from the soul connecting, is that,
yes,
is that correct?
The soul connecting with the soul.
I see. So on a daily basis, how does this affect your day? Do you do this regularly?
Yes, yes, as soon as I wake up. yes, what happens is that when I am in a state of soul consciousness or that I'm a being of light, when I'm in that state, that I'm connecting with God, then I have this sense of purity, the sense of peace, the sense of silence, mm-hmm. but also the sense of unlimitedness.
In unlimitedness, does that mean that you can do anything at the soul level, or is it unlimited?
No, that I can experience anything, and yeah. also that my experience is not limited to that particular time.
Within the BK tradition, does God judge you?
Not right now. No, actually, no. Yeah. God doesn't judge. But there is a day of judgment. We do have a day of judgment. Uh-huh. But it is our own remorse and repentance of what we have done that will come as a mirror for us.
Is that for
eternity.
Is that a point of time, or is that for each lifetime, each body lifetime?
Sometimes in a life, in each lifetime, you can experience it, but not intensely as you would experience at one time. What we call at one time, we do experience that.
So within that, you might take several lifetimes of coming back to that.
Right. Right.
So, within the sense of God, where is God living for the BKs?
Good question. So, we we have what you call the three worlds. Uh-huh. So, what the world we are living in, the physical universe, is one of the worlds. Mm-hmm. And it extends to the far reaches of the physical universe, all of the Milky
Farther
Way.
Farther than the Hubble telescope
yes,
can show us.
Yes, yeah. The Milky Way, the galaxies, everything. Yeah. But beyond that, just beyond that, it's actually another dimension, mm-hmm. is the region of white light. And in that region of white light is what we call the subtle plane. And beyond the region of white light, we have a golden orange region, and we call it the soul world or home. Mm-hmm. And I usually refer to it as the soul world. And so God lives in that region, in the soul world.
And is aware of everything in the universe. Is that correct? Or not?
Yes. I mean, if He wants to be aware of everything in the universe, but I think He's in silence most of the time.
And is not micromanaging, as you
yes.
told
no,
me.
No, definitely. He's not micromanaging anyone. And I want to mention why I keep calling Him He.
Yeah.
Because for us, the soul doesn't have a gender, and God also doesn't have a gender.
So it's just the linguistic traditions that we share.
Social upbringing and cultural upbringing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think that's a really interesting point, because the He part of language creates, many people would say, why does it have to be a man? But calling she somehow grates us culturally in different ways.
Yes, and also I wouldn't want to call God it.
Yeah.
Because for me, it's a very close relationship. It's a very real relationship with a real being.
Yes.
And so because God is conscient, He's living, He has awareness, He has understanding, I wouldn't want to call Him it, because it would denote a inanimate object.
So I get the feeling that it's almost like tapping into a soul power, for want of a better word, as opposed, that has a personality that you, personality is not even right, has a feeling that you relate to, is that right?
Right, right.
Do you sometimes within your mind hear about what you ought to do? Or does your sense of God ever come into words within your own head?
Yes, yes. I'm trying to understand the question,
well,
actually.
Well, sometimes, like I mean, it's probably clear to our audience that I'm coming from a different tradition, but sometimes in my prayer and meditation, I'm aware it's my own voice, it's a calm voice that gives me insight, gives me, you know, pay attention
kind of things. Right. No, for me, no. Yeah. There is really no voice as such in the head, but more as an experience.
What about visually? Is the point of light visual for you?
Yes, it's definitely visual. Uh-huh. It's visual, it's understanding, it's experiencing, it's feeling, all of those things, but not auditory.
So within that, I'm guessing that that feeling, that connection, is really beyond the five senses in terms of the experience of, for want of a different word.
Yes. And also what I've noticed is over time, I accepted because I had that experience when I first started, but over time I realized why this experience of light and of point of light was important to me. Mm-hmm. Because I was able to go away from my physical attachments, and I was able to just gather all of the different pieces of my life and all of the different distractions and bring it into one central point.
Uh-huh. It's like you stepped out of the burdensome part of you and got to the real essence.
Right. So it was very essential, and I was able to hold on to that essence and not get sucked into the material world where it could lead to sorrow.
Now, within that, though, I assume that sometimes there will be moments that you lose that good feeling, that good flow. So,
definitely.
I mean, that's just part of the human condition, walking around in traffic or what have you. How do you get back there quickly? Or how do you, I suspect it's less troublesome now than it was that first week.
Oh, definitely. It's much quicker. I just become a soul. I become a point of light. Uh-huh. And then I start connecting with God as a point of light. And most importantly, I go to the soul world and connect.
Uh-huh.
Even when I'm driving, actually, it's quite easy to do that because we're thinking about so many things while we are driving.
Mm-hmm.
And for me now, it's so second nature that if something's happening on the road, I'm aware of that and I'm meditating at the same time.
Yeah. The important distinction in meditation, for those that have not seen the program or not BKs, is that BKs meditate with their eyes open. So when Shireen's driving down the road, don't be afraid. She can see the rest of us on the road within that sense. So, on your day-to-day activities, it sounds to me like you're calmer in most cases.
Yes.
Or if you get uncalm, you return to calmness much faster.
Yes, much faster. And there's one aspect of God that makes me come back to that very central point of calmness. And that point is that He's the seed.
The seed.
The seed. And what I mean by the seed is He's the seed of love. He's the seed of goodness. He's the seed of peace. And so every time, and He's the ocean of love and the ocean of peace, which we'll talk about further on. But for me, when I come back to that seed, when I come back to that essence, then I realize that by connecting with Him that I receive those qualities from Him.
So within this seed, as we're wrapping up here, the seed is that unconditional, total love that infuses you and helps you in your day-to-day activities.
Yes, and also as a seed, because He's a living seed, He has knowledge of the tree or the human, the human world tree. And so for me, that knowledge also is actually very important because for me, that knowledge leads to understanding and understanding leads to realization and then experience.
So in a way, we're going to have a lot of programs in this particular series on experiencing God. It's all attached to everything else. Everything's part of that. Well, thank you. This is a very nice kickoff to our series. And I hope you'll join us as we continue this series in other evenings. Thanks for joining us.